If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are joined right now by Siobhan Scott, Hidden Killers contributor, psychotherapist, and author, talking about Brian Koberger. And I want to dive into the psychology of the crime itself, if in fact Koberger did commit it. Is it possible, have there been cases where people who've committed something this heinous, because everyone looks at this and goes, how did he go in there and kill four people that quickly, get out? You need a lot of rage in you. You'd really need a lot of determined rage. You'd need the physical stamina to be able to do such a thing. But is it possible that he was in some sort of a disassociative state while doing, while executing this crime, if in fact he did do it? And doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of memory of it other than coming and going, or maybe not even that, but in fact did get himself there and then switch flipped or something flipped and he just went out and did the thing.
Yeah, I don't think it typically works that way. Now, I can't say there's never been a killing, a serial killing, or some kind of a murder, certainly, when somebody's been in a dissociative state. But even when they're in a dissociative state, it's not like a full-blown multiple personality disorder kind of thing, where one part of them comes out and does something the other part doesn't know what they're doing. It's more like an alteration in mood.
Okay.
But typically, they may have a slight alteration in mood when it's like, hey, I'm giving myself over to my dark side now, or something like that. But it's definitely not like psychosis, where, oh, wow, I just lost 4 or 5 hours and I don't know what happened, you know, and they truly don't know what they were doing. So I think in this case, it's more of a classic sexual domination killer. And again, they don't have to do anything sexual to the victims at the time of the killing, because their arousal is from the sneaking around and it's from the violence. You know, there are burglars who become sexually aroused from going into other people's homes. And that sounds weird to us. How could that be sexual? Well, for some people, all kinds of things are sexual. And a killer like this, the violence is the erotic part. And it's generally something that they have been rehearsing in their mind for years and years before they engage in it. And then the aftermath of the killings is still erotic, because they masturbate and they think about it over and over. And this is more that kind of a classic kind of situation, rather than somebody who was in such an altered state of consciousness they have no memory of what they did. I don't think it would be that.
Considering the world that we live in today and the availability of bizarre as hell porn and such that's out there, I guess to fill the need of almost any desire or weird fetish that one may have, why do people go to these sort of lengths to get that sort of satisfaction or sexual satisfaction out of something like this? Is it because it kind of comes down to, I guess, if we're to just talk about healthy sex lives, because there's nothing quite like the real thing? Or is there something else there? Just considering the risk and the damage that one would be doing to other people and the risk that one's putting themselves into by taking up acts like this. I guess, why the need? Why do people go to these sort of lengths to get some sort of sexual gratification of that nature when it seems like there's plenty of other safe routes to do so without actually harming anyone?
Yeah, definitely. And this is what I think makes them these rare birds, fortunately, why there aren't very many of them, because it's just a weird combination of factors.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research going on about the brain and what is it about psychopathic people? What is it about their biology that's actually different? And there are differences in their need for thrills. There are differences in their lack of, you know, the brain that caused them to not have compassion or empathy for other people. And there really seems to be this incredible urge for sensation seeking and novelty. So they will do things that are just so out of the realm of possibility for the rest of them. You know, fortunately, there aren't many people like this.
Yeah.
But I think it's something in the next decade, certainly in the next two decades, we're going to understand their brains a lot better than we do now. But there's definitely very tangible differences.
I'm curious, and I'm sure there's studies out there on this. I'm curious to get your knowledge. And we were talking earlier about the world we live in with this level of porn that is out there for all these different fetishes and such. I mean, there's a lot of real rapey type stuff out there, which
yes.
is creepy. That sort of stuff, the whatever it may be that is on an unhealthy level, the volume of it that is out there, does that in some ways slow down individuals from going out and actually committing these acts, these crimes against other people because they can, I guess, be satisfied at home on their computer? Or does it in fact actually increase the likelihood that someone's going to eventually go and carry out these sort of acts because they have far more access to watch 50 versions of it right. at the click of a mouse?
Yeah, I think that the second is the concern. And certainly when I've worked with various rapists and sex offenders, one of the terms, if they were out of prison, one of the terms of their probation was either they had no access to the internet or their access to the internet was tightly monitored because it was found that the more they engaged in sadistic porn, the stronger their fantasies became and the more apt they were to act on them. And one of my greatest concerns with kids is that I have seen 7 and 8 year old boys in therapy who are already into this material that they've stumbled into online. And so when we're raising little kids whose sexuality develops around violence, cruelty, empathy, and that's paired, lack of empathy, and that's paired with arousal, we're creating something potentially very dangerous. So yeah, that's definitely an area we all need to be paying attention to.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.